This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome in, everybody, to a loss from the Browns, 29-12 against the Denver Broncos. My name is Andrew Spade. I'm joined by Brad Ward. We will dive into all of this tonight. It's a disappointing loss that I think I think there was a point, Brad, in the third quarter just before the cheap shot that knocked DTR out of the game where it felt like maybe they had gotten the tide turned around and the quarterback was really starting to see it and throw it well. And just as soon as you started to have those thoughts of hope, the game got away from them and it ended up being a pretty lopsided loss because of what happened once he was injured. So, it's hard to be too upset about a game that they were very much in until that injury. But at the same time, it felt like a game that they could have won, maybe arguably should have won, that they didn't win. And so hard not to be a little bit frustrated that an opportunity against a lesser opponent, I think we would agree, got away from them there.
Yeah, it's extremely disappointing. It's hard to – I don't feel too bad about this one. The Browns – all right, so I'm going to kind of shape this narrative like this, I guess, a little bit of how I felt watching how beat up the Browns were – appear to be at this point in the season, right? So you see Cooper walking off. You've got Ward out. You've got DTR taking that shot. He's bleeding. He's got a concussion. You've got – Garrett playing only partial snaps. This is coming into a week where you played back-to-back AFC North opponents, physical games, and then you go play in altitude. It's not an excuse, but it is a... they're beat up, man. They're beat up. It's not an ideal situation. They're very beat up. Mm-hmm. And this is a team that is rolling. They're not a great football team, but they're doing enough right now to win. I mean, the Browns fumbled the ball 5 times today.
Yep.
3 times they gave it away. They just, yes, they were in the game. They've got to stop giving up 14 points to start the game.
Yeah.
They've got to figure that out. Like, and even the guys on who were awful, the Fox broadcast was just terrible, awful again. Mm-hmm. Mark Sanchez is an absolute douche, but they did point out, that the Browns are giving up points in the first quarter and then adjusting, right? And
yes.
There's only so long that you can get away with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And play from behind, and it bit them today. The drops were bad again, five plus drops again.
Yep.
I don't know what's going on there. So there's a lot to dive into here. None of it great.
Yeah.
I do agree. I will say this. Listen, this team fights. They fought again today.
Mm-hmm.
They fought back. And then, the shot to DTR, and you have to bring out PJ Walker, who
yep.
literally is a walking turnover, came in and fumbled the ball twice, once to the other team. I don't know. I know a lot of people are going to make a lot out of the reverse when they're
yep.
only down 5. That's going to be, the Stefanski. A lot of people are going to be pitchforks for Stefanski on that call. I don't like the call, Andrew. I don't. But... somebody didn't block it. If you're going to call it,
yeah.
you have to execute it properly, right?
Like, I mean, that, yes. So, yeah. Let's talk about the quarterback
yeah.
first, right?
Yeah.
Because I think let's start
Sorry.
There because,
yeah.
no, there's a lot to dig into here.
Yeah.
So we want to get to it all. And I think that is absolutely the call. But I think the reason that call hurt so bad is because it came right on the shoulders of DTR getting knocked out of the game, right? It was, he gets hurt and there's a penalty that advances the ball. They've got a chance. They're moving. They're down five. And you're thinking, well, they've been able to run the ball well. So if they can run the ball and PJ can hit a few throws and the defense can basically hold the Broncos scoreless, maybe they've got a recipe here. And they have immediately turned it over. So, but I think that a lot of the emotion about that play call is about losing another quarterback to injury. So let's start there. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, another rough start, you know, the first few drives, not getting a ton of help from his receivers throughout the game, continued to make impressive throws into tight windows, several throws that I think if they had been caught would have gone for gains. I'm thinking specifically of that David Njoku crosser that he fit into an almost invisible window, and Njoku juggled it and then dropped it. I thought we saw real strides forward from the young man today, and it's kind of what I expected going against a reasonable defense after two straight games, you know, back in week four and then against the Steelers, where he was overmatched by top 10 defenses. Obviously now he's ruled out with a concussion, so he'll be in protocol. It feels unlikely that he will be able to play next Sunday. So now you're faced with a situation, Brad, where they're probably going to have to get Joe Flacco ready to play after he's been with the organization less than two full weeks on the road against Los Angeles when they're, as far as I know, they're not even coming back to Cleveland, right? They're going to stay in LA for the week. So just, you know, talk to me a little bit about the magnitude of the challenge. I know that Flacco is a vet and can probably get there, but this is an uphill climb again for them going into this game against the Rams, who, by the way, just put it on the Cardinals.
Yeah, absolutely. And a team that, you know, the Cardinals who were looking very different with Kyler Murray, who was playing well coming into today. So an impressive win, actually. So they're going to go play the Rams, right? They're going to go stay at UCLA or whatever and work out there at Westwood or whatever. So, and you have to get Flacco ready now. I noticed he did have the earpiece in today, so he was listening to everything. That helps a little bit, I think, play calling wise. I think they can get him ready. That's fine. That's why you got Joe Flacco, right? Is because he understands the offenses and has been in so many. It's not an ideal circumstance, no. Because to your point, I think DTR was making strides. Like, one of the biggest issues I had around the quarterback position today, Andrew, was the protections. The protection was not great at all. I don't know why we stopped helping Jerron Christian at all, but he was getting beat up a good portion of the afternoon, especially in the second half. And I thought DTR handled it well. He got out of the pocket. He threw balls away that needed to be thrown away. He made some very accurate passes that should have been caught. To your point, I mean, it should have been a tie game, you know, on the 2-point conversion. Yeah, the throw could have been better, but Cooper doesn't drop that ever. Some weird stuff there. And I thought he played a better game than probably the stats show. And was kind of finding his rhythm. I would question once again why. I know everybody's pounding this. I get it early, and I know we're talking about quarterback here, and I'm getting off topic a little bit. Just game plan wise, with the quarterback and DTR and everything, came out throwing the ball a lot, right? And I thought early that made sense because there was a good portion of heavy boxes. Like, I think the Broncos came out ready to stop the run and make DTR beat you. Now, at some point, they loosened that up and they started to get 5, 7, 10 per run, but they went back to the pass. And I wonder sometimes we've seen Stefanski do this, and I don't want to be critical of Stefanski necessarily because I think he's done an amazing job this year, but I feel like he needed to stay with the run at some point and see how far you could push that until you had to go back to, like, you know, throwing it all over the yard.
I mean, I think one of the big problems is that they keep putting themselves, especially on the road, in these negative game scripts where they're down. And so, you know, you kind of have to lean on the pass to get back into the game. I thought, you know, at the point that they that the injury took place, they were finally at a place where they could have good mixture run and pass because they were within a touchdown and yes. had the momentum. And then, you know, the quarterback gets hurt. And, you know, I felt pretty confident when he right before he got hurt that that was a game that they were going to win. Yeah. Because I thought the quarterback was finding, I thought the defense was adjusting. Now, I think it would have been interesting to see how the defense would have performed. I mean, Myles Garrett has an injury that we'll talk about here in a second. It would have been interesting to see how the defense performed given, you know, if the, for example, the Browns had gone down and scored there, if DTR stays in the game, you know, how does the defense play in that situation? But overall, I thought, you know, they had the momentum and had the offense stuff working later. But let's talk about this now because the this is a trend now on the road. Last time they were on the road in Baltimore, they gave up an early lead. You go back to the game against Seattle, they gave up a big early lead. The Indianapolis game, they were down early. They have made a habit this year of getting in deep holes early and then trying to dig themselves out. And especially now that they're on their third or fourth or fifth choice at quarterback, it puts them in an almost unwinnable position because you're asking quarterbacks that have not had a lot of experience with the offense to do too much. The same thing, by the way, will happen with Joe Flacco. The Jets asked him to throw 55 times last year, and he threw a bunch of picks.
Yeah.
They have to be, with this, the deficit that they have at the offensive line and quarterback, they have to be playing from ahead. Yeah. I don't know what the defense needs to do to figure it out, but they cannot just allow touchdowns to start the game and then get warm. They have to figure this out, Brad.
Yep. No, it has to be figured out because you're doing exactly what every defense is scheming up to do to you. So right. every team is coming in to try to make you one-dimensional as a passing team, and by giving up points on the first drive of the game or any time in the first quarter, you're leaning right into that for them. I mean, you're putting yourself at a disadvantage there, mm-hmm. where you have to pass the ball more than you're really comfortable with doing, probably, and probably having to get off whatever script you came into the game with if you're down 14-0, probably right. sooner than expected, I would think, right? And we've talked about in the past how good Stefanski is with scripting up the start of play of games. Mm-hmm. In the past, we haven't really seen that as much this year.
No, we have not. The opposite, in fact.
The opposite, in fact, yeah. So that does that has to stop, and I'm sure Schwartz is aware of it. You know, when they were getting beat at the end of games, it was very direct in a presser and said, we have to evaluate what's right. happening at the end of games. We have to do mm-hmm. something different. I expect to hear something similar this week if he gets press availability to the fact that, yes, we know we're being exposed early on in games and it has to stop. I'm sure he's aware of it. So they got to get healthy too.
Right. So that's the next thing I want to talk about. Let's talk about the injuries because I saw Amari Cooper leave the game. Obviously, Dorian Thompson-Robinson was confirmed out with a concussion. So that, you know, that means he's going to be in the protocol. We know how that goes. I saw that Stefanski said post-game that Cooper's x-rays were negative, so he's okay. But he took a nasty shot, a shot on which, again, I think they could have thrown a flag.
Yes.
And I think something has to be said about the Denver defenders tackling in an aggressive and dirty manner repeatedly, especially considering one of their players, one of their captains, I believe, is suspended for 4 games, currently for the second time this year, for basically those types of dirty hits. So given what Sean Payton went through in New Orleans, being suspended for a year for Bounty Gate, I think I'm looking at that as the season goes on. But to the injury point, obviously we saw Myles Garrett not able to contribute in the way that we're accustomed to because he's got, it sounds like a rib injury from what the sideline report was during the game.
A rib or a wrist?
A rib, I thought. I thought they were talking about his sort of here and he wasn't able to lift his left shoulder. So
Yeah, that must have been it. I thought I heard wrist, and I was like, that doesn't make sense. He doesn't look like he's moving properly, so it
right,
has to be.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then you mentioned Gron Christian is filling in still for Jed Wills.
Yeah.
That seems like it's kind of running its course now, which is concerning. DeJuan Jones was out of the lineup for a few plays again, and James Hudson came in and got a false start. The team feels to me, Brad, under siege from an injury standpoint. We didn't mention, obviously, they missed Denzel Ward a ton. Because Greg Newsom was unable to stick with Cortland Sutton all day long.
You can't play man with him on the outside.
It doesn't feel like it.
Good wide receiver. He got cooked twice.
It doesn't feel like it. Yeah. I mean, So injury-wise, obviously they're in a tough spot because they're staying out on the West Coast. They have a week here where they're going to be there's going to be a ton of adversity coming into that Los Angeles game, and it's not like it gets easier from there. Their bye week is far in the rear view. And what I would say, Brad, here, yeah, that I felt like I saw from players that were coming in for players that were injured, I have not seen enough stepping up from players that are kind of coming into positions when other players are injured. Obviously, Garon Christian at times has done okay. But overall, it feels to me like they're just kind of running out of players. I mean, we talk about, we didn't even mention, obviously Nick Chubb, Jerome Ford is only getting this many touches because Nick Chubb is lost for the season. Ford, I think, left some yards on the field this game. And then Pierre Strong, who has, people were clamoring for him to touch the ball. He can't handle it on a reverse. It feels like this was a game where we needed to see somebody unexpected step up and kind of make a play or two, and that just continued not to happen. JOK is the one guy that I'll shout out because he was everywhere on defense. But
he was.
But yeah, just I mean, when a team is suffering this many injuries, Brad, where do they go? What do they turn to?
I think you have to turn to get back to what you do at your very core, right? Mm-hmm. Like so. Which is kind of why I expected to see more in the run game today than we did. But I guess.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I think you have a week here. I don't know what Emerson looked dinged at times today, too. We're going to have to get a total injury report. But they all look kind of beat up. Like, there's guys playing hurt out there, too. So I don't know. I probably we'll get Miles to play next week. Probably Cooper too, I'm guessing. You know what I mean? I don't think those are long-term injuries. But the drops have to stop, right? Like you just they need a week. Maybe this week helps to get away from everything and refocus because they did a great job getting through the AFC North back to back. I mean, a tremendous job. But they are beat up and they really need to get maybe readjust what they figure out what they do best here, right? Like get back to your core stuff. You're a defensive team that should be playing complementary football and not turning the ball over. You did the exact opposite today. Now you're dealt another blow as your young quarterback who looked like he was coming into his own and maybe would provide some sort of a ceiling is out with a concussion. But you can't, once again, you already made this point. You can't ask Joe Flacco to come in and drop back 40 times.
They can't do it.
So it's just not going to work. So you're going to have to, A, fix the defensive, the start problem. You have to get off to a faster start on offense or get stops on defense, preferably stops on defense, right, to keep yourself in the game. And then you have to be able to establish a run game at some point, right?
Yeah.
Early in the game.
Yeah.
Like it can't be waiting till halfway through the second quarter and then, okay, now we've loosened them up. And I know that's what they did today, but man, it feels like they need to do more earlier, right? Like you're asking so much from quarterbacks not capable of just taking all three downs to pass the ball all over the yard early in games when the game is in the balance, Andrew. Their defense has afforded them a certain margin for error in certain games, turnover-wise and so forth. But when you get a team like Denver who plays the same style where they want to take it away, they don't want to turn it over, they want to make less mistakes than you and beat you, that margin for error kind of goes away. And that's what they did today, is they squeezed that margin for error. They made some plays. We didn't. We dropped some. They made some catches. That's the difference in the game, and, of course, losing DTR. I mean, you're right. They were right there, down five with the ball. It's unfortunate. You feel like you could beat that team when you're fully healthy and everything's
for sure
clicking.
Yeah.
And so that's unfortunate. But coming into this West Coast trip, you would have preferred to have this one, but you got to get a split.
Right.
So all things, you know, turn to how do you get a win in Los Angeles next week with Joe Flacco. I don't know, Andrew, what's your plan for Joe Flacco? What do you want to see?
I think what you just said, but I think they've got to figure out. I mean, Matt Stafford went nuclear on the Cardinals today. So, the defense has a different challenge ahead of them, especially if there's continue to be injuries with Ward. You know, I mean, Newsom has really been struggling recently. Looks like, to me, I see a player that's struggling with his confidence because he doesn't seem decisive on his breaks. Yeah. So, you know, and I think there was some stuff that they put on film today, run defense wise, that smart coaches like Sean McVay are going to find, right? So,
yeah.
The question really to me is, can the defense avoid putting them in a big hole? And so part of that is obviously the offense needs to be able to move the ball, but part of it is also just get off the field once or twice in the first quarter instead of just letting the other team hold the ball for the entire period.
Yeah, this adjustment thing is just not, it's great. It's a historic defense, but they're also historically bad so far in the beginning of games, and not always to their fault, but today it certainly was, right? I mean, Russ, a smart, intelligent quarterback, wasn't necessarily doing it with his arm, but was able to identify where the issues were in the run game and audible to the correct run plays, and they ran that trap about three times up the middle for about 10 yards. I mean, that stuff is going to happen against good quarterbacks that have been in the league for 10-plus years, and you're going to get that next week, too.
Yep.
So you have to shore that up.
Yeah, they need to be better on defense. I know that the Broncos were given a short field on that turnover, but overall the defense needed to be better today for them to win this game, and they weren't. I know that the offense also had issues, and the turnovers continue to be a huge problem, as you rightly point out. But the defense needed to be better today, and it's a frustrating loss. There's no doubt about it. Big picture, you're right. They need to be 1-1. Over the road trip. They've bought themselves a little bit of slack considering the hot start, right? 7-3 with the wild card picture around the league. The Bills are in overtime right now. They can afford to lose. They can afford to drop one of these, but they cannot afford to go to 7-5, because then they're in a situation where they're going to be, you know, possibly on the outside looking in or around the edges rather than, you know, firmly in the fifth seed.
Yeah.
And you'd like to see them stay in touching distance of the division as well, because I don't think that you can rule that out. The Ravens are dealing with injuries of their own. We know how, you know, inconsistent they have been at times, I guess I would say. Lamar at times has picked up injuries late in the season. So not that I'm rooting for that at all, but you don't want to just start giving up ground here. And two games in a row would certainly be that. So obviously big challenge ahead of them, going to Los Angeles, and, you know, I think then you look beyond that, and then it's another tough game the week after that when they've got Jacksonville at home. So their next two games are no cakewalk. So they really need to find a way to win this one in Los Angeles, I think.
Andrew, question here, just kind of looking at some of the stuff in the chat for you. How comfortable are you with you think it's a no-brainer that they go to Flacco here? They can't go to P.J. Walker, right?
No, I think the whole reason they signed Joe Flacco is because they know they can't go to P.J. Walker.
Situation, right?
Yeah, I think it would be pretty irresponsible to try and rush a quarterback, a young rookie quarterback, back off of a concussion. So,
yeah, you can't.
This is why you have Joe Flacco here. So, I actually think you can second-guess why they – didn't make him active for this game. They could have absolutely added him to the practice squad or added him to the active roster as an elevation this week and made him active as the third quarterback exactly for this situation that ended up unfolding. And I'm not saying he would have been ready to run this offense entirely, but I would have rather seen Joe Flacco come into that game than PJ Walker. I think the PJ Walker experiment is just about over. I think his problem with ball security is going to doom them in every game that he plays. So I think you have to go to Flacco and hope that you can run the DTR offense, but with a veteran quarterback instead of a young guy. I think that's the move. Whether or not it works, I mean, listen, you know, it's not fun to talk about, but the Browns have had their backs up against the wall for weeks now with injuries. It's just the truth. The entire season has been played with their backs up against the wall because they keep having to change quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know, the longest uninterrupted streak of play is they got three games from Deshaun Watson to start the season, and then they got three games from PJ Walker in the middle of the season, and they've played 11. That, you know, that is exceptional quarterback turbulence, and it absolutely will undo your season. And I think the Browns are fortunate to be 7-4. And I think if they want to make the playoffs, they have to find a way to get this win next week.
100%. You know, the quarterback turbulence, no Nick Chubb, no both tackles, then your backup tackle who came in to look like he's, you know, a tremendous rookie, you lose him. You know, your point about Jerron Christian, you know, I think that I don't know what you do there. You're going to have to help him. Like, to your point, he had done a really good job filling in as a journeyman up to this point, better than could be expected. But, you know, you're putting this stuff on tape every week. Somebody's going to figure something out. Yeah. They did a really good job at the end of the game there. You saw with the fire zone stuff where they were, you know, mugging the A, B gaps and then dropping out and then bringing guys off the edge. And the Browns were nowhere near close to identifying it or picking it up. That is something, though, that you would like to think a veteran quarterback like Flacco could identify in protections, right?
Yeah, for
like sure. Picking up blitzes. Like, you know, a couple games ago it was, I forget what the team it was, but they were very obviously blitzing the same time they brought the safety down behind a guy every time. And DTR or PJ Walker, whoever was in the game, was not identifying it. So you would like to think that the move to Flacco at least is an upgrade in identifying what you're getting here and giving him time to throw and make throws. Because, you know, I think Stefanski will give him enough answers with Njoku, Cooper. The one bright spot today, Cedric Tillman, right? Looked better. Yep.
I agree. I think that the veteran presence will help this team. I think it will help settle the offense down. I think at times the offense is sort of, it's a bunch of, you know, it's a bunch of young guys and Amari Cooper, really. I mean, David Njoku now is a leader, but his struggles the last 2 weeks have really, I think, cast a pall over his season. You know, he has not been who they wanted him or need him to be over the past 2 weeks. You need the quarterback to kind of get in the room, in the huddle, and kind of settle everybody down. I think especially in road games, right? You saw some false starts today. As you mentioned before, they put the ball on the ground 5 times. You just can't win in the NFL that way. And I think some of that is having a little bit of a veteran at the wheel, and you know, hopefully there does come some of that recognition, getting them in better plays, avoiding, you know, free rushers, that sort of thing that I think we saw them struggle with at times today. So overall, I think the move to Flacco, you know, was probably going to happen at some point, and in a way it happening via an injury is, you know, arguably cleaner, because you don't want to replace a young quarterback for performance. I hate to see him get hurt, especially on a dirty hit like that, but here we are. And, you know, they just have to continue to fight forward. I mean, we've talked all season about this team's resilience. They weren't able to be resilient within this game. They weren't able
to, it just wasn't enough.
Right, exactly. They were resilient. They weren't resilient enough. They have a huge test of their resilience coming up against, I think, a Rams team that is better than people think. Can certainly score points, will be pesky on defense, you know, and in a double back, you know, a back-to-back road game situation that is going to test every player on the team. And, you know, in other games this year, we've seen players step up when needed. We didn't see that today, and I expect to see it next week, because I think that's what this team has done. You get to 8-4, come back home 8-4, you know, with no more cross country road trips to go, and I think you feel pretty good about where you're at. So,
yeah,
that, you know, this week at the OBR will be a lot about. I'm sure we will break down how the Browns lost this game, but I don't think you need a ton of expert analysis to help you understand what happened. Frankly, we will, I'm sure, pivot pretty quickly to how they beat the Rams, because that's the big question and the big task ahead of them. We obviously will be updating the injury situation for all of the players that left with injuries today. We'll have shows all week. We'll have Jake's Chalk Talk tomorrow night, I believe, although he is dealing with a personal matter and so might not be available. So stay tuned for updates on that tomorrow. Tuesday night, obviously, we'll have a preview of the Rams with Mike Keefe and then Garage Beers. Wednesday night, OBR Weekly, we'll dive into the first day of practice, figure out who's going to be on the field for Sunday, see if we can put together a roster. And then Thursday night, Brad Ward right there will be with you for All Eyes on Cleveland, getting you ready for next weekend's game, which will be a big one. So that we'll have it all covered from every angle this week on the OBR. Hope you join us there. We appreciate you joining us here tonight. I know it wasn't the result that a lot of us were hoping for, but even in a loss, I think that there, you know, you can still take some things away, and hopefully we helped you sort through some things here with this game. Any last thoughts, Brad, before we wrap this up?
Just that, you know, there's a reason I like this team so much. It's because of their resolve. It's because they fought through everything that they've been through so far this year. They mm-hmm. weren't going to go undefeated the rest of the way. You lose a tough one here with some injuries. You look to get right next week. It's a critical week for your season. But listen, I don't shy away from my passion for this team any less because of this loss, right? Like, okay, they tried, they fought, but it's about overcoming what they have to overcome this week against the Rams to move forward. And they've proven to us that they can do it. So let's look for them to bounce back next week in a get-right spot. I know on the road, back-to-back, not really, but they need it. They got to have it. And so far this year, when they've had to have it, they've done it. So have a little faith and go Browns, baby. Get healthy, get right, and we'll cover it all for you at the OBR.
There you go. Thank you so much, Brad, for your time. Thank you to Ian McBride behind the scenes for running things for us so smoothly. Thank you to all of you for joining. Lots of great comments, as always. I'm sorry we didn't get to more of them. It's tough after a loss, right? It's not quite the same as a sub train after a win. So hopefully we'll get back to those winning ways next week, and we'll party with everybody after a big win in Los Angeles. So for Brad Ward, for Ian McBride behind the scenes, my name is Andrew Spade. Thank you for joining us. Stay tuned to the OBR all week, and we'll be back here again tomorrow night at 7. Until then, go Browns.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.